The 10K Collective, our sister podcast, is the world's newest e-commerce podcast, now live on Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It's for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers. It's highly actionable, but it's focused on how to scale your business for sale or long-term profit, not short-term hacks. We have deep talks with real e-commerce sellers and experts in industries like sourcing, team building, and managing cash. Search your podcast app for 10K Collective or go to 10kcollective.com for show notes or to listen online. That's 10K for kilo, collective.com, 10kcollective.com.
I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. So, all of this stuff around quadrants, in other words, going for more proactive stuff, trying to work on things that are important but not urgent, requires the word no. The only place to get time for quadrant two in the beginning, says Covey, is from quadrants three and four. In other words, stuff that is important but not urgent needs to be, the time needs to be taken from in urgent but not important or just simply unimportant and unurgent time-wasting things. You can't ignore the urgent and important crises of quadrant one, although it will shrink in size as you spend more time on prevention and preparation. So those are really critical words again. You have to be proactive to work on quadrant two because quadrants one and three, the urgents, work on you. So to say yes to important quadrant two priorities, you have to learn to say no to other activities, sometimes apparently urgent things. Really difficult discipline, this one. I mean, if you're going to try and create a business for your future's independence with the family to spend more time with your kids and loved ones, for example, which is a classic motivation for a lot of people I work with, guess what? You're probably going to have to spend less time with your kids and partner up front for a year or two while you build your business. And that's a sacrifice you're going to have to be okay with making. You got to talk it through with them as well, make sure they're on board with this. But you're going to have to say no to something else. Sometimes things aren't very important to you. And equally, you don't want to spend the next 5 years, 10 years of your life completely ignoring your family in favor of building a business, because you'll probably end up divorced and you may not have a business then either, because the business can be a hell of a roller coaster ride. So you've got to balance things out. I'm not suggesting you completely junk things that are important to you, but you may have to sacrifice and compromise. That's a very realistic thing that I know from experience. The other thing is this: keep in mind, says Covey, that you are always saying no to something. If it isn't the apparent urgent things in your life, it's probably to the more fundamental, highly important things. For example, if this afternoon I just keep creating podcasts, which I do think are important, but getting another podcast done today is not actually urgent yet, and I ignore going for a run because I'm running for a half marathon next week, I may struggle to finish the marathon. And it won't really make that much difference if I run today or not, but it will make a difference if I run enough this week. So one day at a time, my fitness will be going down unless I carve out the time like I did yesterday. I went out for an hour and a half, even though I had a ton of things on my plate. Why? Again, I have to say the power of deadlines and the power of a decision and accountability. There's no way that I would get myself fit if I hadn't forced myself by putting myself in for a half marathon. Am I really prepared for this? Probably not. I think they asked me to say how long it would take me to complete it. I'm like about 4 hours, which is about 2 hours longer, about twice as long as any respectable runner who's even moderately fit. So I'm going to struggle to do it, but sometimes doing, good enough job is good enough. And I think setting some kind of goal that you have publicly committed to is, there's no way that you can fail, really, if you absolutely have to succeed. So that's my kind of bit of jiu-jitsu that I moved for myself. If you're like me, quite a reactive and problem-oriented person, I just make sure I've got things in the diary that force me to do the right things. I have mastermind meetings. I have booking a session with my coach where I say, right, we've committed for me to do this in two weeks' time. Give me a hard time. If I haven't done this, I book in, whatever, really. I mean, I book myself in for the half marathon, for example, to get fit. It's a primitive but effective way of doing it. I did this a few years ago when I wanted to get my piano playing to the next level. I booked myself in for a piano diploma exam, which is quite tricky for those of you done it, about 50% failure rates. And then I went to get myself a piano teacher and get back into piano lessons. If I were you and you haven't got you haven't got launched yet with a product on Amazon, then give yourself a 9-month deadline to launch, get yourself a coach and get cracking. So moving back to Covey's book, moving into quadrant two or becoming more proactive. If quadrant two activities are clearly the heart of effective personal management, the first things or the most important things we need to put first, then how do we organize and execute around these things? And I guess the answer is you need the right generation of time management tools. So we talked about the three generations of time management tools before, the first generation being checklists and notes with no prioritization. Second one being calendars and appointments, which I still think has a lot of power. The third one is prioritization, but being too rigid about it. So the fourth generation thing, says Covey, needs to have six criteria. It needs to be coherent. In other words, it needs to go back to the values that we care about. It needs to be balanced so that we're not sacrificing health for business success or sacrificing business success for family life, for example. By the way, balance. I think you need to take a sort of 5-year vision of balance. If you're 1 year or 2 years, you work very, very hard and don't see your family very much, but you buy yourself future freedom to spend more time with your family, I think overall, taken in the round over 5 years or 6 years time frame, that is balanced, by the way, in my personal opinion. If you take each day and each week as your focus for balance, I think that's too narrow, personally. If you're going to try and build a business, I think you need to think this way. Just my 2 cents. Quadrant two focus. So in other words, your planning tool needs to focus on the important, not urgent. It needs to have a people dimension to it. So you need to be able to deal with people and develop relationships, not just efficiency, but effective relationship building. Flexibility, because life happens, and portability, which is obviously important as well. And good having a massive desk diary if you're forever flying around the world or it's not convenient. Becoming a quadrant two self-management, says Covey, has 4 activity areas. 1 is identifying roles. 2 is selecting goals within those. 3 is scheduling weekly rather than daily. And 4 is adapting daily. So let's look at those. Identifying roles is first. For example, you might be an individual, a spouse or parent, a manager for new products. You also might be a research manager, a manager of staff development, administration manager, and the CEO of a company. And guess what? If you're an Amazon business creator from scratch, you're probably going to be all of those things, aren't you? So you have various different roles. You might do all of them yourself individually to start with and then outsource them later. But if they're on your plate right now, you need to think about having goals within each of those areas, not just the business as a whole. And I think it is wise to split things up between, for example, procurement and research. Then within each role, for example, as a parent, you might say, I'm going to, you know, make sure I go to my son's football or hockey matches this year. As a manager for new products, you might be trying to get 3 new products launched this year, that sort of thing. And then you need to put these goals into your weekly goals that should be tied to your longer term goals as well. Scheduling weekly means you translate each goal to a specific day of the week, either as a priority item or even better as a specific appointment. And I think appointments in the diary are better. I mean, for me, if I'm going to put a podcast recording together, if I have an appointment with an interviewee, then that goes in the diary. Sometimes we have to shift it, but mostly it stays. And if we reschedule, we don't just cancel, we don't just let it drift. And if I do one on my own, it's much harder to hold myself accountable. I generally put it in the diary. 50% of the time, I kind of drift past it. Again, it's easier to be accountable to other people than to oneself, right? But putting things in the diary, I think, is really important if it is an important activity. And then the final thing is to adapt daily. With quadrant two weekly organizing, daily planning is more a function of adapting daily, prioritizing activities and responding to unanticipated events, relationships, and experiences. So, you know, if your son comes home from school crying because he's been bullied or fallen over in a sports game, if your wife is having a bad hair day, or your husband, or, you know, some customer melts down and you have to deal with that, or you get a 1-star review and an Amazon business, whatever, you've just got to roll with that. And you need to have a system that is flexible enough to account for real life in that way. And I think that's really critical. Scheduling every minute of the day, in my experience, depending on how rigid you are and how disciplined you are as a person, I guess, I've found it to be soul destroying and ineffective because I don't stick to it. So I really advise against that. I mean, I think what a good simple rule of thumb is, if you're working this stuff full time, is just make sure you schedule your morning between 9 and 1 o'clock, have lunch, and then deal with whatever else, including emails. I personally try not to check emails until late afternoon, because otherwise my day is reacting to that rather than being proactive. So living it. This is Covey's summary. Returning once more to the computer metaphor, if habit one says you're the programmer and habit two says write the program, then habit three says live the program or run the program. And living it, says Covey, is primarily a function of our independent will and commitment. But he says, very important distinction, the commitment not to short-term goals or schedules. We're not committed to that. We're also not committed to the impulse of the moment, so getting distracted by YouTube or Facebook. And I'm guilty of all that stuff sometimes. But what we should be committed to instead is to the correct principles, like ethical behavior and our own deepest values. I think that's an excellent distinction. You don't have to be rigid about being connected to, you know, implementing your plan, but you have to be really strong about staying true to your values. For example, if my wife comes home and wants to spend a bit of time cuddling because she's got to be off for the rest of the day, including late evening, I won't see her till midnight. She's a musician, so often out working late. Sometimes I will park my schedule and say, you know what, this podcast can wait till later or even tomorrow morning. Now, if I just don't get it done, that's unacceptable. But if it gets shuffled around a bit in favor of relationship with my wife, which is obviously right up there in terms of importance and happiness in my life, guess what? That's actually a good decision. I'm gradually learn to be less rigid about these things. I mean, it's very tempting to try and be rigidly adherent to daily schedules, but I really think adhering to weekly goals but being quite flexible daily works very, very well. Just make sure you don't overpack the day. Now, if you are trying to fit your Amazon business building around a full-time day job, you're going to have less flexibility. That's how it goes, you know? So just make sure you don't rob Peter to pay Paul. I mean, if you're going to spend time dealing with a crisis on Monday evening with your son, daughter, wife, whatever, mother, whatever it may be, family life, then make sure you gain that time back on the Saturday. Negotiate it with people. Just explain, okay, I have to spend it time. I can spend the time now, but I'm going to have to spend the time on something else later, right? So the fourth generation of time management, of self-management, as Covey puts it, is more advanced than the third in five important ways. And I think this is the important changes. Number one, it's principle-centered. It allows you to see your time in the context of what is really important, not just being rigid for the sake of it. It's conscience-directed. It helps you organize your life in harmony with your deepest values. As Covey says, you can peacefully subordinate your schedule to higher values, as I just talked about the example of deepening relationship with your other half. It defines, number three, it defines your unique mission, including values and long-term goals. This gives direction and purpose to the way you spend each day. I think that's so important, particularly if you're leading a team in a business. I mean, if you're leading without direction and values, it's going to be a very reactive way of dealing with your team, which is a whole different ball game, which we'll talk about in another podcast. Number four, your fourth generation time management tool or self-management tool helps you balance your life by identifying roles and setting goals in each key role each week. So in other words, you don't just do one area of your life to excess and ignore another one. You don't ignore your health or family relationships in relation to business, for example, but equally you don't ignore your business in the context of your day job and family life, right? So there are two different areas of danger here. In my experience, one is when people are just starting out, they ignore their Amazon business. They say they're going to start one. They even sometimes spend lots of money on training courses or even more on physical products before they've really checked out the market, which always scares me. I get a few people coming to me that have got, you know, spent a couple of, you know, $10,000-$20,000 on products. And then they get caught up in daily life, family life, and day job, and they neglect their Amazon business. And that's just as irresponsible to me as to completely neglect your health or neglect your family. So different areas of different times, different stages, I should say, of business growth bring different dangers. Just be aware of the danger of being completely unbalanced. The fifth and final aspect of fourth generation self-management tool is it gives context with weekly organization rather than just planning your day, but not rising above the perspective of a single day. So the practical thread running through all of these advances is a primary focus on relationship and results and a secondary focus on time. Really, really critical. So time management is really the wrong focus. Even the word time management, I mean, it's a common phrase now, so I guess it's a starting point. But actually what we're really looking at is managing relationships and managing results rather than managing time. Time is just the space we move in, I guess. What matters is the relationships and results we have within that. So in conclusion then, there are some application suggestions that are suggested by Covey and a bit of a summary of the quadrant two paradigm, i.e. way of looking at the world. The key to effective management of self or others is not in any technique, as Covey says, or a tool. It is intrinsic in the quadrant two paradigm that empowers you to look through the lens of importance rather than urgency. So to boil that down into more English, if you look at everything and consider what's important, not what is urgent, you do different things. And I think that's really, really important. Every one of the seven habits, so the habits of highly effective people that Covey talks about, is in quadrant two. Every one of them deals with fundamentally important things that, if done on a regular basis, would make a tremendous positive impact or difference in our lives. So finally, some application suggestions from Covey. Number one, he says, identify a quadrant two activity you know has been neglected in your life, and write it down and commit to it and implement it. So the answer to the question that we asked at the beginning of the show. Number two, draw a time management matrix and try to estimate what percentage of your time you spend in each quadrant. Then log your time for 3 days in 15-minute intervals. How accurate was your estimate? Are you satisfied with the way you spend your time? What do you need to change? This isn't something I've actually done. I must do this at some point, but I do think that they say what gets measured gets done. That's a Peter Drucker quote, like so many fantastic management quotes. And I really think that one thing you should be doing is measuring your time. And I do that with a little tool called Toggle, T-O-G-G-L, which is free. And I'm just measuring right now that I'm doing a podcast recording. Very helpful, but even better to have a couple of days where you're very granular about it, just to see how your days actually pan out. And it's going to be quite frightening and humbling to start with, in my experience, but useful. Application suggestion number three, make a list of responsibilities you could delegate and the people you could delegate to. This is a bigger picture thing, but that's certainly a very interesting exercise. I think that's something for another podcast as well. Number four, organize your next week. Start by writing down your roles and goals for the week. Transfer those to a specific action plan. At the end of the week, evaluate how well your plan translated your deep values and purposes into your daily life and the degree of integrity you will maintain to those values and purposes. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, you know what? That's an excellent idea. You know what else? I think if you don't do that with somebody else holding you accountable, very unlikely to happen, in my experience. These are councils of excellence. They're councils of perfection, as my mother would have put it. In other words, I don't think you can do it unless you have somebody holding you accountable to that, which is one reason why in the mastermind groups, we try and wrap up every mastermind group with a goal setting exercise, and we try and hold people accountable to see how they're measuring up against those goals. A daily, or rather a weekly, check-in with a coach is the easiest way to do that, in my experience. Application suggestion number five. We've got two more to go. Number five, commit yourself to start organizing on a weekly basis and set up a regular time to do it. An excellent idea. I can't say that I really organize things that well these days in that way. I try to set three goals for the week. For the lean management tool thing, there's a very good book that I will do another podcast about, but it's a very good practice. I mean, I think, if you've got a coach or a business partner that you can work with on this, it's going to help make it real as well. Number six, either convert your current planning tool into a fourth generation tool or secure such a tool. Well, yeah, you can be complicated about this. I think, you know, lists are okay. Scheduling things is good. But I keep it very simple. I have a list that I write on the whiteboard for the day. I have a list that I write on a piece of paper for a week and stick on my desk in front of me. And then I try and schedule in the things that go with that. For example, if I'm going to try and, you know, get ahead with the podcast and record lots of episodes, I just schedule those into my diary. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't. If it was with guests, I would say sort of 25% of them cancel them because they get busy. Maybe 20%. Actually, most people stick to it because they want the publicity, unsurprisingly. But you know, if we do, we reschedule. I reschedule in things with my clients or go and get in touch with them. So a lot of what I do is about prodding people to schedule things with me, actually. And so a lot of that is starting to be automated now. So to some extent, I do act on this. But I think some of the tools I use are very sophisticated, like Schedule Once or Once Hub, which is the way that I schedule calls with clients, with consulting clients, or with podcast guests. But a lot of it is a piece of paper, but I wouldn't have a list of undifferentiated goals in a piece of paper. I just have a list of maybe three goals for the day and sometimes one. And the art is not in creating a long, complicated list. The art is having one thing that you keep in front of you and you stay on it until you've done it for the day. That's the Charles Schwab idea, right? coming back to Covey's application suggestions, last couple, number 6, either convert your planning tool. Oh, no, we talked about that. Sorry. Number 7, go through Quadrant 2 Day at the Office, Appendix B, for a more in-depth understanding of the impact of a Quadrant 2 paradigm. So I'm not going to do that here because that would take a long time. But if you buy Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Powerful Lessons in Personal Change, that's the full grand title, then you will be able to read that for yourself. And I would urge you to do that. It's a very thought-provoking way of looking at life in the office. But for now, I'll just sum this up as quickly as I can, because I know this has been quite a long episode, what between Covey's detailed thoughts and my little gloss on it, nearly an hour, but I think this stuff is critical. So sorry to go so long, but on the other hand, I think this stuff is important. So the basics is this. Number one habit is inside out. You need to be proactive. If you don't like the way your life is, or you think it could be better, then your responsibility to change it, not anybody else's. And also your possibility to change it. It is possible if you're in a reasonably wealthy situation, a reasonably wealthy country. There's no excuse really. And I mean, you know, there's always a reason why you can't succeed, but there's always reasons why you can. So that's absolutely critical. Habit two is begin with the end in mind, have a vision. In a lot of cases, I think people's visions are kind of secondhand. They've been told they should have wealth and independence, but why? What's really, really important to you personally? It may be that your vision does not align with being an entrepreneur. Maybe family life and your day job are actually the way to go, which is perfectly fine. Don't feel you should be or have to be an entrepreneur. There's no reason why you have to be. But assuming you are, then you're going to have to come up with a really powerful vision for why you're going to put up with the bad times, the insecurities when Amazon does things you don't want, which always happens at some point to all of us, when your suppliers let you down, which happens to all of us at some point, when your customers complain, which happens to all of us at some point, when you're stuck in the wilderness of product selection and you don't know what to do next. How are you going to get through it? I think the answer is you've got a bigger vision that is bigger than the problems that are in front of you, right? And then habit three, as we've been talking about today, begin with the end in mind and then put those things first that are going to lead you to your goal. So thank you for listening to me. I mean, for me, one of the things that I'm really committed to is to keep putting this podcast out to get the best mindset and business strategy and business tactics that I can, as well as bringing you interviews with some great guests, which is coming up on the 10K Collective podcast. Just a final pitch for that, the 10K Collective podcast. When I say pitch, by the way, it's not paid. No podcasts normally cost any money. If you quote subscribe to that, that doesn't mean you pay anything. Just to understand the word subscription in the context of podcasts, all it means is that you get regular updates. So look out for the 10K Collective podcast. That should be coming to an app near you soon, hopefully by the end of May. I'm going to set myself another deadline that I'm going to just about hit. So let's say May the 30th. I'm going to say it here right now, even that is a bit sooner than I want to do it. And look out for the 10K Collective podcast, which is going to be for advanced sellers, or at least it's going to be for anyone who wants to build a business, but particularly geared to advanced sellers. So we'll be dealing with supply chain management, with outsourcing and delegation. And we'll also be interviewing some successful e-commerce entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and what things they would advise you not to do. Don't repeat their mistakes, and to learn also the things that they've done that work well, so you can duplicate that. So look out for the 10K Collective podcast. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Speak to you in the next show. Hey there, this is Michael, and saying thank you for listening to the amazing FBA episode you just listened to. Just want to mention that I mentioned at the top of the show our sister podcast, the 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, which is for 6, 7, and 8-figure sellers on Amazon. Specifically, that's who we're geared to. I'm sure that people doing bigger numbers will still have a lot of things to learn from it. And people doing smaller numbers, sure, but it's not going to be immediately actionable for you. So if that is you, keep listening to the Amazing FBA podcast. But if you're 6, 7, or 8 figures on Amazon or e-commerce, I really think you should check it out. So I just want to give you a flavor of what's coming up, or rather just a bit of a list. Not deeply exciting as podcasts go, but I just wanted to, if you're just checking it out, know whether it's for you and what sort of topics we cover. Here's what's coming up. So first of all, an interview with our own Ashley Pierce from the 10K Collective Mastermind, who is talking about his last year in e-commerce, where he went from $750,000 in 2018 in turnover to a run rate this year of $1.25 million. So that's from scratch in 3 years. Super smart man, and he had a lot of the right skills going in. And let's be clear about that. But he didn't have tons of capital, just a conventional amount. So I still think that's an incredible result. And also, he's a really nice guy and a very, very clear-minded and feet-on-the-ground business thinker. So there's so much value. If nothing else, check that out. Really cannot urge you enough. I mean, these guys that have been in the mastermind for nearly 2 years now have just honed their game to the nth degree. I've never heard quality discussion like I hear in there. And I don't say that because it's about me. It's not about me. I'm just privileged to work with some super smart and great people. So do check it out. Other things coming up then, lots and lots of industry expert interviews. Here's a flavour. And honestly, this is about half the list of people who've agreed to come on for an interview. So several of these are already recorded. So with Ryan Shaffett from XCube Manufacturing, we are going to be talking about custom manufacturing in China. He's been out there about 18 years. And custom manufacturing, I can't emphasise enough how much that is the future. If you're still just purely private labelling stuff, it's going to get harder and harder to make a profit with that business model. I mean, I think it's got a year or two left in it, but sooner or later you need to get onto custom manufacturing. So this is a hyper critical skill set that you should be learning, I believe, to future proof your business. Second is funding, which is another massive topic, how to fund growth, because any scaling business, as Vern Harnish says, growth sucks cash. This is the law of gravity of scaling. Therefore, we've got to look into raising capital, and one way is debt. And Bruce Mack is going to talk to us about that. Aaron O'Sullivan is coming on from Systems Culture Impact to talk about outsourcing and company culture. And again, if you're scaling up a business, you're going to have a very painful time if you keep trying to do it yourself. Even if you've hit, say, $1 million a year equivalent, which I know some people have without a VA, guess what? You're not going to get to 2 million without a VA or basically a proper team on board. So that's something that's definitely a big barrier to entry. And also, to put it on its head, something that will add to your comfort and enjoyment of your business if you go with it. So that's a few things that we got in depth, just in a bit more superficial detail. Chris Shipfling of Providium with Jason Somerville is going to be talking about selling your FBA business, and they have a private equity take on that from the Wall Street side. So really fascinating angle on that. FBA reimbursements with Ben Chambers. Amazon often owes about $50,000 to $100,000 for any serious seller at some points in the year. How do you get your hands on that? It's just a fantastic source of cash, apart from anything else. So Amazon's got your cash. If you can get it out of the system, guess what? That's fantastically healthy for your business. Ash Munger's talking about quality control from China. He's got an incredibly detailed system for doing that. He's been out in China running IMEX sourcing for 9 years now, so he seriously knows his business backwards and sideways and in detail. Connor Gillivan's going to talk about the quick outsourcing system that FreeUp represents and how to outsource quickly and easily. Paulina Masson came on this morning. We talked about pricing, which is a very underrated and very important thing for driving profits. Will Churnland's coming back on, and we're going to talk about evaluating the competition from a real sort of standpoint of somebody who's not just looking at the numbers, although Will is super smart with numbers, but from the point of view of the overall competitive landscape. Really, as ever, Will's a brilliant Amazon thinker, always worth hearing. Kevin King's coming back on. Not even sure what we're going to be talking about yet with Kevin, but you know what? He's always a super smart guy when it comes to the marketing side, so I'm sure we have lots to learn from him. What else we got coming up? Amazon account suspension with Joshua Price, launching to overseas markets with John Cant, PPC advertising and profit margins with Mike Zagare of PPC Entourage. What else? Chris Rawlings is coming back from Judo Launch. Presumably we'll be talking about launch. Alex Oxford is coming on to talk about sales tax. He is super smart at explaining this stuff in very simple terms, but yet dealing with all the details as well. Alex is absolutely a critical person to listen to if you sell in the USA. Kostas Anastasiadis is coming back to talk about short-term funding. Brad Moss is coming back, who used to run Seller Central, so he's a super sharp guy as well. China sourcing with Manuel Bekvar. Law for Amazon sellers with Paul Ruffelson. Augustus Kligas is coming back on to talk about various different topics. John Cavendish talk about translations. Paul Harvey to talk about chatbots. Brian Johnson talk about PPC. Greg Mercer to talk about product research. Nadine Eich to talk about Germany and customer service in Germany. And probably going to get my old accountant, Penny Lowe, back to talk about bookkeeping basics. Whew. We have, as you can tell, an incredible amount of really practical, useful content coming up, a lot of which is already recorded and is definitely coming out over the next few weeks. So get yourself over there, folks. It's just a place you need to be. This is not just a bunch of let's fill the airways with the latest kind of hack that's going to die in 2 months. I'm taking care to really focus on content that is as evergreen as possible. Why? Because then you listen once and implement over multiple years, or at least months, and then you get the payoff over time, so you get better return on your listening time, if you like. And I think that's a really important metric. Return on listening for me is something I aim to give you in spades. So get yourself over there. 10K Collective is the thing you need to look for. 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, to give it the full title. You can look on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts apps, or Stitcher. We should be on Spotify any minute now, and we're just waiting to get ourselves on Google Play and Google Podcasts. So it will be more and more available. If you can't find it on your listening device, your preferred device, then just go to the website and you can listen directly there. 10kcollective.com. That's 10k, 10k for kilo. Collective is collective.com. That's 10kcollective.com. Thanks so much for listening to such a very, very lengthy post-roll pitch, if you like. I'm not actually selling anything, so it's not a pitch in any strict sense. It's free and it always will be. Of course, we will mention paid services from time to time, but I believe in giving like 95%, 99% value and a little pitch at the end. So it's not going to be a pitch fest. We are just aiming to build massive goodwill and getting ourselves out there and known. And of course, we hope to attract some wonderful people to our masterminds, and if people can use the services that some of our experts provide, so much the better. But really, that's our main thrust, is to get ourselves out there and build goodwill. So you know more than you're ever going to need to know in life about this podcast. Get yourself over there and listen. Stop listening to Amazing FBA. What are you still doing here? I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. I suggest you go and do the same, and I'll speak to you in the next show.